All right, let's get into this thing. You got your notes? Living by the law of love. So that's what I want to talk about today. And here, I want to give you some context, okay? This is where I'm coming from. The election in 2012, the night of the election, was, you know, I'm watching the returns come in, and I'm not happy about the returns and the way that the election is going. This is in 2012 on the night of the election. It didn't surprise me at all, but I was just had this feeling like this is the end of our republic as we know it, as we have known it. And I think that is true. We've taken some of the things that have happened in the last 4 to 8 years have a drastic transformation in our nation. But I went to bed that night, and I knew that's not the end of the story. It didn't surprise me. But I was kind of feeling some heaviness as I went to bed. I just turned it off, went to bed. And as I was going to bed, I was like, Lord, you know, this doesn't surprise me, but I know you're reigning, you're good, you're doing good things. Would you just encourage me tonight? Give me a dream or something to encourage me. And he actually did. And I have this dream that night. And in the dream, I'm like sitting in a room and I'm so happy. I'm giddy. And because I have, and there's this some random lady there. I don't know who it is. And I'm so excited. And I'm telling her why I'm excited. I'm like, man, God gave me the gift of discerning of spirits. It is so awesome. It is so helpful. I was like, I can actually, I haven't been able to do this before. I can physically see demons when they're on people. Like, I can see him, and I'm talking to her, and I go, like, right now on your shoulder, there's a demon right there, right now. I was like, but it's so cool when you see him. You can just get rid of him so easy. And I walk up to her, and I was like, watch this. And I just prayed for her, and whoosh, she was delivered, and the demon left. And I was like, isn't that cool? I mean, this is such an awesome thing that God is doing. I was so giddy. And then the scene switched, and in the next scene in the dream, it's nighttime outside, so it's a dark atmosphere, and yet I'm sitting on the edge of a pool that's all lit up with light, and there's this prophet sitting next to me, and I know that he's teaching me how to dive deep is what he's doing. And he's like, okay, and he shows me, and I'm diving deep, and I woke up from the dream. I was so happy, and I just knew that it was related to what even happened in the election. And I just felt like the Lord was like, you know, giving victories in the political arena is just not something. It's not the season right now where I'm releasing all kinds of breakthroughs, so to speak, in the political arena. But I am raising up my bride and teaching her how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit to release my kingdom in the earth. And then, you know, even it'll spill over eventually to the political arena as well. And we pray for that, of course. But I believe this. God's spoken so many times. The gift of discernment. Discernment and wisdom is a major thing to acquire from the Holy Spirit in this hour, and to learn how to go deep in it. To learn how to go deep in it. And then, you know, this was probably, I don't know, a year or two ago. We were in prayer meeting on a Friday night. And it was early in the prayer meeting, and Stan had showed up, and Stan was just in there praying, and I kind of walked by, and just randomly, he turns around and looks at me. He's like, you know, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you that you have the gift of discernment. And of course, I've been praying for this gift for a long time, because the Lord's been speaking, you need the gift of discernment and wisdom. I'm like, God, give me the gift of discernment. But I never really thought of myself as actually having that gift. And when he said that, the Spirit bore witness, and like my eyes were opened, and I started seeing the way that the gift of discernment has been operating in my life for a long time. And I have been going deep on it, and I didn't even realize that's what it was. And I was like, wow, thank you so much, Lord. It's cool when something you've been praying, give me, give me, give me, and he says, you already got it. I've been developing in you for years now. Like, wow. Of course, I want more. And so I just feel like right now, learning wisdom and discernment, to discern between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, is a big deal for all believers. And I think it's critical in this hour that we're living in that we learn how to discern the spirit that is behind different things, okay? And so the Bible says, it tells this in somewhere in Romans. Paul tells the church, be excellent in what is good, innocent of what is evil. So I pray this for my children. I pray this for myself. I pray it for you. This is what I pray. I'm like, Lord, I pray that you would give us a discerning heart to know the difference between to know what is right and to give ourselves to it wholeheartedly so we excel in it. Also give us the heart to discern what is evil and have nothing to do with it. No, it doesn't have any part of our lives. Does that make sense? Because we want to be excellent at the good and innocent of the evil. And so I just kind of have in my heart to share a few of the things that I've been doing over the years that have helped me walking in this gift of discernment and wisdom. And so I'm just going to give you some of those things that have helped me. Sound good? So first of all, Proverbs 4:23, I'm going to talk about living by the law of love has been helpful. I love this. I've loved this verse since I was new in the Lord. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I remember reading this book early in my walk with the Lord, reading this verse and loving it. I love this verse. Above all else, Jeff, your most important responsibility, guard your heart. Because out of the heart, that's where all the life comes from. That's where all the wisdom comes from. That union and fellowship with the Holy Spirit that happens on the inside. Our most precious possession is our relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it is our responsibility. Say, it's my responsibility. Okay? It's my responsibility to protect that fellowship by guarding our hearts, our emotions, the things that we covet, the things that are desires, that speaks of our hearts. By guarding our hearts and guarding our minds from defiling influences that would hinder our fellowship with the Spirit. Does that make sense? This is a major way that we express our love for God, actually. It's actually worship. When I say, Lord, my most important possession is my fellowship with you. I mean, he loves that. He's like, yes, I love that about you. But then how that manifests many times is if there is something coming that's threatening to separate our fellowship or take me from an 8 on the intimacy meter down to a 5, I don't want to just say, well, that's okay. I'm still saved. I want to be like, no way. Are you kidding? I'm not even satisfied with an 8. I need a 10. So I'm going to guard my heart from watching things, from listening to things, from saying things, from doing things that would defile my fellowship with the Spirit, that would offend the Holy Spirit or cause me to become dull of hearing. Hopefully this makes sense as I continue. It will. Matthew 22, Jesus said this. Well, one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Your soul is your speaks of your emotions and your will and things like that as well. This is the first and the greatest commandment. To me, that's just Jesus saying, above all else, guard your heart. Does that make sense? For it's the wellspring of life. And then he says this, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. I was in a conversation with a lady one time, Autumn and I were, and we were sitting in Godfather's Pizza, and she was asking us these questions. She's like, well, I'm trying to remember the exact question. It's something along the lines of, what about rated R movies? You know, is it okay to watch rated R movies? And honestly, I couldn't tell her, is rated R okay, is rated R not okay? This is what I told her, though. I said, well, here's how you'll be able to tell. When you're watching it, pay attention to what's happening inside with the Holy Spirit. When you watch it, does it stir up godly desires in you? Or does it stir up thoughts of vengeance? Does it stir up thoughts of fear? Does it stir up thoughts of immorality and lust, covetousness, or does it stir up righteous desire? Does it enhance your love for God when you watch that film, Or does it diminish your fellowship with the Holy Spirit? And that your command is to love him with all your heart. So pay attention to the Holy Spirit and do what pleases him on the inside. So these are questions when we live by, this is what I mean by living by the law of love. So let me ask you a few questions, okay? Is it all right to murder someone? Good. Check. Got that right. These are no-brainers. What about having sex with someone that's not your spouse? Good job. What about hating somebody? Yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? That's none of these are easy to understand. Is it all right to participate in occult activities? Good job. What about lying? Good job. You know why these things are easy? These are expressly written out in the Word of God for us. We know exactly what pleases the Lord there. If I do these things, these are fellowship with Holy Spirit killers, okay? I mean, these are, I'm not going to do this because I love the Lord. We know this, but let me ask you some more questions. Don't answer these out loud. Just think. Is it okay to smoke cigarettes? Is it okay to drink alcohol? Is it right or wrong to wear certain outfits? What about bikinis? What about certain dresses? Yeah? Is it right or wrong for a guy to run around without a shirt on in the summer mowing the lawn? How much money is right to spend on yourself? How can I tell if something is a bad word or not? I mean, there's some words, you know? You know, we're like, bad word, don't say that word. There's other words like, that's not a bad word. And so-and-so is like, yes, that's a bad word. You'll get in trouble. And, oh, which is right? How do you know? What entertainment choices are good and which ones are bad? What about music? Is it okay to listen to secular music? Is it right to listen to non-Christian music? How much entertainment is too much entertainment? So let's say you got some stuff that you feel is good and it's clean, it doesn't affect you badly. How much is too much? Is it all right for me to be with friends with such and such a person? What about tattoos? Are they good or bad? Is it right or wrong to have a tattoo? What about piercings? Different kinds of piercings. Is it right? Is it wrong? What about certain hairstyles? What's the best use of my time? What's the best use of my time? How much time do I need to spend with my kids to be a good dad? How can I know if I'm praying enough? I talk to Christians sometimes, and almost every time I'm you can go up to almost any believer and you can say, are you fulfilling God's plan for your prayer life? And most of the time, the answer is, well, I am praying, but I probably should be praying more. And I love to ask this question at that this point. I like to say, how much more? How much more would you need to pray to say with confidence, the Lord is pleased with my prayer life, and I am fulfilling his plan for me in that area of my life. And you could apply that to evangelism and on and on and on, a lot of things. You guys with me? Because I don't want to walk around with this cloud over my head that I'm perpetually falling short. Because I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to give an account on the day of judgment for my prayer life, for my sharing the gospel with other people, for my skin with tattoos, whatever it is, you guys with me? I'm going to give an account for how I managed my time, my heart, my body, my words, the possessions and money. You guys with me? I'm going to give an account. So I don't want to just guess. I want to be confident right now. Am I pleasing you with how I'm spending my time? Am I pleasing you with how I'm spending my money or the decisions I'm making and my dress and my entertainment choices? And I want to please the Lord. And I don't need somebody else just to tell me their opinion because that doesn't do much on the judgment day for me. I need to know his thoughts. You guys with me? And I have found living by the law of love so helpful. I have great happiness and joy about my prayer life. And I have for years. I'm super happy about the time I spend in the Word and my time spending evangelizing. I'm not perfect. I fall short on different days. But I have these are conversations that I talk about, I think about with the Lord. I'm intentional with my time. I'm intentional about my words. And I feel really happy. I can't wait. I'd love to stand before him right now, honestly, as judge. Except I don't want to die yet. But I'm happy. Don't you want to be confident like that? That's attractive, man. Like when other people see you have this joy in the Lord that comes from confidence. He loves me, and I really do love him. I believe that. I fall short. I'm not perfect, but he really loves me, and I really do take this stuff seriously. I have to make adjustments at different times, and the Holy Spirit helps me do it. And the living by the law of love has been a big key to help. So all these kind of questions, you know, this, is it okay to smoke, secular music, all that kind of stuff. I have strong opinions about some of these. I have opinions on others that are not as strong. But here's the deal. Asking yourself if your goal in life, your bullseye that you're aiming at is, I want to please you, Lord. I love you. I want what I do with my ears and my time and everything, my skin, all that. I want it to be worship. And then if you ask yourself this question, how will listening to this music affect my communion with the Spirit? How will watching these things affect my communion with the Spirit? Will it enhance my love with the Lord, or will it diminish it? I want to be throwing gas on the fire of his love in my heart. I don't want to be throwing water on it. You with me? The key to the Christian life is getting full of the Holy Spirit, honestly. It starts when you're born again. Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the way you live it successfully after that moment is to follow his lead. He plays the lead role. Do you know that in your sanctification? You play a super crucial role, but he's the leader. He'll lead, you pay attention to him, and then please him. Make it your aim to please him. So let me give you this. In the kingdom of God, we have freedom. Christian liberty is a major theme in the New Testament. And what I mean by liberty is not liberty, I don't have to obey God. People who are looking for reasons, I don't want to have to obey God. The heart's wrong right there already. Okay? But we love the Lord. When you're born again, you get new desires. And one of the passionate new desires that just pops up when the Holy Spirit comes in is, I love you and I want to make you happy. I want to please the Lord. And so, but what we do is we're free from a list of living our life like this, where there's a bunch of rules, and I'm like, is it rated R movies? Where is it? Where is that rule? The rule book would have to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because they didn't have internet in Jesus' day. So what websites are okay, you know, like is on and on and on. And so we don't have to just look up the law on and live externally like that. How we live is we have God in us. Now, there are the obvious laws that are the no-brainers, thou shalt not murder, right? Some of the ones I mentioned earlier. Those are no-brainers. We obey those. But the freedom is I have freedom to enjoy God, here's the deal, listen, and to enjoy life with him. It's okay to enjoy life. It's okay to like playing. Really, I love playing. I love to get muddy. It's the best. Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember like the best times. It'd be pouring down rain, and all the buddies get together in the neighborhood. It's tackle football. And if we have two different fields to play in, we pick the one with the least grass and the most mud. I mean, that's so fun. I still love getting muddy. Love it. It's okay to play. It's okay to have fun and enjoy life. It's okay to enjoy a movie. It's okay to enjoy, you know, what? Vacations. Oh, I love vacations. Love them. And it's okay to enjoy scuba diving. Thus saith Jeff. Okay? There's like just simple, clean pleasures in life that are totally okay. It's okay to get married. It's okay if you're single to want to be married. And it's okay to get married to a godly woman. Just do it with, or godly man. You just do it within the guidelines that the scripture states, right? You marry a believer who's on fire for God, right? That you'll be equally yoked running after the Lord. Why? Because you ask this question, will it, being around this person, being yoked to them, will that enhance my love with the Lord? Or will it diminish it? I'll tell you this. I love Jesus. I am so much better off in Jesus because of Autumn. I'm so glad he invented love. And he made me Twitter-pated for her when I first saw her. I was like, oh, she's beautiful. I would like to be spiritual and say I fell in love with her heart first, but I didn't. Because I saw her before I talked to her. I just saw her from a distance, and I was like, whoa. I must meet this girl. And then I met her and I fell in love with her heart. So, but it's love is good. Having fun is okay. We are free to enjoy God and to enjoy life with him. And with him is the key, you know. And this is how I pay attention to decisions like this. Like, actually, let me give you this first and then I'll talk. Unless something is expressly forbidden by God in the scriptures or, you know, you are free to do it. So you get to a situation, as long as it doesn't violate your conscience. I'm going to put that clause on there. That needs to, because that's scriptural. So I'm going to say it again. I would write this down, actually. This is pretty good if I didn't put it on your sheet. Is it on there? Okay. Unless something is expressly forbidden by God in the scripture, you're free to enjoy it as long as it doesn't violate your conscience. Okay? And then the scriptures, so it's like, wow, really? So is this okay, Lord? He's like, yeah. Does it break a commandment? No. Cool. Is it okay if I play this instrument and I just love playing this instrument and I just want to give hours to learning this instrument? Do it. You know, my favorite, Eric Little. How many of you watched Chariots of Fire? Good movie. Just saying. Really good. And he's a missionary to China. He grew up as a missionary kid in China. And his sister's like, Eric, we're going back to the mission field. He's like, yes, I believe God's calling me to the mission field. But there's something weird, Jenny, is his sister's name. He's like, God made me fast. He loved to run, and he did it for the Lord. And God made him really fast, so he'd win. Like, constantly, he'd be winning these races. And then all of a sudden, all these kids and everybody, you know, they want to hear this star athlete. And he used the platform that the Lord gave him to tell people about the Lord. He'd preach the gospel. And he was chosen to be on the Olympic team. And his sister's getting upset. She's like, you're distracted. You should be here at the mission working more. And he's like, honestly, he's like, I'm called to be a missionary. I mean, I'm going to China. I know this on my heart. But he says this, but the Lord has also made me fast. And he's like, and when, I love this, when I run, I feel his pleasure. So you have hobbies, you have activities, you like, you know, fun things that you like doing. As long as they don't hinder your relationship with the Lord, if you can do the activity and enjoy fellowship with him while you do it, it's blessed. Is this making sense? Okay? Can you do it? That's a key question that I ask myself. Is, can I do this and enjoy the Lord in the midst of it? If I can't, I don't really want to do it. Because it's just distraction from my primary pleasure, which is fellowshipping with the Spirit. Can I be around this person? Does it enhance my fellowship with the Lord? Then I want to spend more time with that person. Because it enhances my primary pleasure, which is enjoying fellowship with the Lord. You guys with me? When I'm with people and it's get really difficult because they're just gossiping or slandering or they're super negative or whatever it is, and I'm just like, I'm just like, God, help me endure this time and get out quickly so I can just enjoy you. You guys with me? But Scripture, so we're free. If it's like, man, am I allowed to do this? Are you serious? Is it really okay to enjoy this? Yes. As long as it doesn't it's not forbidden in Scripture. You guys with me? This is really important. But there are guidelines given in Scripture for how to manage our freedom wisely. Okay? And I want to share some of these guidelines with you. And this is all to help you discern. This has helped me so much. To help you discern between what is best, what is good, what is evil, what is best, what is not best, okay? Living by the law of love, not only for God, but for people too. So it's not just how does it affect my heart with the Lord, how does it affect this person, right? Okay, we'll get into that right now. So let me give you some of the guidelines to manage your freedom wisely. Galatians 5:13, guideline number one. Paul says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom, right? He says this, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. So that's a guideline, right? But through love, you should serve one another. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. So he actually quotes the law of love right here, okay? And learning how to manage your freedom wisely. So here's the deal. You're at a potluck. There's three pieces of pie left. You've already had one. Person in front of you takes one. The next person in front of you takes one. There's one piece left. And the person behind you, you've been talking to them in line, and they're like, man, I'm super excited to try that pie. Decision. Am I free to eat this pie? I was first in line. It's legal. I can do it, right? I have freedom to eat this pie. No one's going to say, man, you're a horrible person. You're a selfish person. But here's the deal. If I'm living by the law of love, there's a good, there's a legal, I can get away with it, and there's love. This is best. I'm going to skip the pie and put it up, put it on their plate, and not make a big deal about it. Just give it to him and then move on. And I expect he'll have a nice pie waiting for me at my house in the New Jerusalem. Right? I mean, one, you got your reward. You enjoyed that piece of pie. There's your reward. The other, you have to wait for your reward, but it's going to be better. You're free, but don't use your freedom just to justify selfishness. Yeah? Use your freedom to empower you to enjoy God, enjoy people, enjoy life, and serve people. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Is another guideline for managing your freedom. He states the principle of freedom first. He says, everything is permissible for me. Right? So it's like, hey, am I allowed to eat this steak? Yes, it is permissible to enjoy steak. Okay? Is it permissible for me to, hang out and play clean video games? Yes, it's permissible. You can do that. Is it permissible to buy this shirt for myself? Everything is permissible. As long as it doesn't violate this something forbidden in Scripture or your conscience, right? But there's a guideline for how you manage that freedom. He says this, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Then he states it again, everything is permissible for me, here's again, but I will not be mastered by anything. So, I'll just use my most famous example, ever, all of you know already. I love sports. And I really enjoy sports. I always have, since I was like this. I have great memories. My dad would play catch with me in the backyard. We'd play football. He taught me how to play baseball. I have all these warm, fuzzy memories growing up of playing Little League and different fun things like that. And God used baseball as a blessing in my life, actually, many different seasons. I think one of the things that kept me out of drugs and a bunch of really bad stuff before I knew the Lord was I wanted to be an athlete, so I knew, even though sometimes I might be tempted because of my friends, I was like, I got to keep myself healthy. So I'm like, praise God. I got spared that stuff. He used baseball to keep me. You guys with me? But then, you know, about three years or so, I'm saved for 3 years, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he's like, I don't want you to watch sports anymore. Don't follow it. Because I could get the paper and read it. Just the sports section. I don't really care about the other sections very much. But the sports section, I didn't even care about comics. I was like, sports, what's happening with my teams, you know? And I could look at the stats and enjoy it. And I remember the Lord's like, no, I don't want you to do that anymore. And I was like, is that God? Because everything is permissible. Baseball is permissible for me. Right? It is. You can go play baseball today. Have fun. You can go watch the World Series if there's a game on. Yeah? Enjoy it. Enjoy it with the Lord. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. But I had this problem with sports that I didn't really realize was a problem, but the Holy Spirit did. It was hindering my walk with him. Is sports sucks me in. It is a time waster. I could spend hours. I could waste my life following things that don't matter at all. You guys with me? And I didn't see it at the time, but until I started obeying him, I was like, I think this is the Holy Spirit because he won't let it go. Like, he's really on me. He is like pulling the rope, is about that long, my leash, so to speak. Like, I walk by a sports section and look at it. Conviction, I'm sorry. I mean, sometimes I'll be in a restaurant and sports is on the TV. And I'm like, ooh, I wasn't seeking it out. It was just there right in front of me and I want to watch it. I'm like, no, don't do this. You know, be focused. I'm on a very short leash in this area. I'm happy about it, actually. It's so good for me. And so everything is permissible for me, but sports for me, it becomes an addiction. And Paul says, I will not be mastered by anything. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? And so I don't want to be addicted to shopping, entertainment choices, alcohol. Gluttony is same as alcohol. Yeah, that's another area that the Lord speaks to me about a lot. You know, everything is permissible. Is it okay to eat that cake? Enjoy the cake. Thank Jesus for it and enjoy it. Have a second piece if you want to have a second piece. You know what I mean? However, I don't want to be mastered by the craving for sweets or caffeine or cigarettes or drugs or alcohol or fill in the blank. You're free, but manage your freedom so that you're not controlled by something, because when something else has a hook in us, it hinders us from obeying the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? And I want to be free of the hooks except for one big one right in my heart, the love of God. I want to be led by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, well, let me just give you a couple questions first under 1 Corinthians 6:12. So it says everything's permissible, not everything's beneficial, and I will not be mastered by anything. So ask yourself this question: will this benefit or hinder my fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Because I want to do what's beneficial. Will this be beneficial to me at the judgment seat of Christ? Now, I do things that will probably have zero benefit to me at the judgment seat of Christ, just so you know. Okay? It's okay to, yesterday, I did something yesterday. I watched a movie last night. I watched Star Wars, episode something, whatever it was, for the New Hope, the old school, the first Star Wars movie. Luke Skywalker blows up the Death Star. I watched that with my son because it was his birthday and I was celebrating his birthday with him. So I'll probably get a reward, actually. That probably does benefit me at the judgment seat because I really honestly was doing it for him. But even though I enjoyed it. But so it's okay to do stuff that doesn't, you know, I go out golfing sometimes. I don't think when I get to heaven, he's going to say, man, you went golfing and here's your reward. I don't think that's going to be there. Unless while I'm golfing, I'm fellowshipping with the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was a great shot. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just lost that ball in the water, but you gave me more. Is it beneficial to me? Will it benefit me at the judgment seat of Christ? Is this something that is controlling me in an unhealthy manner? That's a great question to ask yourself because I won't be mastered by anything. Is this something that's controlling me or consuming my thought life in an unhealthy way? Does this dominate my decision-making in a way that causes me to resist the leadership of Jesus? Yeah? So, I remember one time we were going to go on a vacation early in our marriage. And I was so excited. And we actually did not have much money back then. And God was, he always provided for us. But, you know, we were going on vacation anyway. We're literally about to leave for vacation. And I'm at a church service right before. Like we're leaving the next day or after service. I can't remember. And there's this guy who had a need. And I feel prick in my heart like, you need to just give him some money. And I'm thinking, but I don't have much money, and the money I have is set aside to enjoy vacation. And I was like, is it permissible to have money and blow it on vacation and enjoy yourself with your family? Yeah. Unless it causes me to resist the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So I obeyed. I passed that test. And I don't know what happened, but we did go on vacation. We must have had fun because we always want to go on more. So, but that's just a small example. God comes first. We don't want any idols. Amen. All right. Next principle, 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. That's not the same scripture. That's a different one. He says it twice. Then he says it again. Everything is beneficial. Here it is, but not everything is constructive. So ask yourself, will this thing or relationship, whatever it is, does this build me up? Is it constructive? Does it construct good things in my heart? Will it build me up in my walk with God, or is it destructive? Will this enhance what Jesus is doing in me? Or this, will this build up people who are around me, or will it cause somebody to stumble? Or is it destructive? Or will this work against what God is doing in somebody else's life? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. You know what these are? These are guidelines to assist you to make, because you're going to have, for the rest of your life, you'll be making choices like this. The stuff that's spelled out plainly in the Bible, you already know what to do. Okay? But then there's that stuff is like, it's not plainly spelled out. How do I know? You talk to Holy Spirit, you pay attention to how he feels about this thing, and you walk by these principles to make wise choices. This is actually part of walking in discernment. It's not the discerning of spirits like in my dream where I was seeing demons and I can tell, oh, that's a demon of whatever, and just make it leave. But it's a you know, that's one manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. But discernment at its most basic level, every believer needs to walk in, and the Holy Spirit helps us. And it's, how do I know right from wrong, best from good? 1 Corinthians 8:9. Paul says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. So you need to ask yourself this question. How is this activity affecting my brother and sister in Christ? Does it cause them to... I'm just going to say this. This is a silly example, but it's just coming to my mind, so I'll share it. Do you know there's times where... I already told you I love sports. I can be competitive. I've been known... I have legends I could tell you of being ejected from Little League games and things like this, where I was hyper competitive to a wrong level, okay? I got ejected from a junior varsity football game for punching an opposing player under his helmet. And it's just not good, you know? It was before I knew the Lord. I was mad. We were losing the game. It was the end of the game, and they intercepted a pass, and I tackled him, and I was so mad. I didn't control myself. That was before I knew Jesus. Anyway, so I can do the competitive thing, but I like to win a lot. And actually, a lot of times I would play on like intramural softball or something like that, or even co-ed softball here in town. And we would play, and I'd be like, I'm taking it really serious. Like, because I'm like, I want to win. And people would be like, oh, isn't it good just to have fun? And I'm like, I'd smile. I'm like, yeah, but losing isn't fun. Winning is fun. Now, I'm not going to gloat and rub it in their face, but man, I want to win. You know, that's. I've been known to wrestle through those things in my heart at different times. However, I also have noticed at different times that my competitiveness hindered my Christian testimony. So times I remember in Bible college, these are all brothers in the Lord, and I'm playing, and I was so competitive, and something happened, and some guy on the other team, he was very competitive too. But we are like going into the ministry together. This is Bible college, okay? It's just an intramural softball game. It's not the World Series, you know? And so we're playing, and he says some smart aleck comment. I can't remember what it was. And just, I was in a wrong spirit. I was in that competitive mode, and it struck me wrong, and I said something back, and I was like, afterward, it's like the spirit was just like, and I was like, oh man, I got in the flesh. Now, is it okay to want to win? It's permissible. You're allowed to win. And it's okay to want to win, but I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. How is my competitiveness affecting those around me? So I started finding it helpful. I still want to win. But I found that it's more important that I want to give my best, play my best. I want to build up other people who are playing around me. So now I try to make it, if I'm playing something, whatever it is, Ultimate Frisbee or whatever, you know, with people here in the church, if they make a good play, I want to be like, dude, that was an awesome catch. You guys with me? If there's like some little kid running, I'm not going to like blow him over to make the play and win the game. You guys with me? Now, this is a silly example, but it is actually a real practical thing of, yeah, you're free. I mean, but don't exercise your freedom in a way that tears others down or makes them feel low or is going to hurt somebody else. Think about more than yourself. This is living by the law of love, right? Think beyond you and think about how you're affecting the other people around you. I'd rather let them catch it and let them win the game and tell them that was an awesome catch than injure them. Little kid's like, no, thank you, Pastor Jeff. For the broken nose, that was a good catch. My pastor's really good at whatever. There's higher prizes we're going for. But ask yourself, how is this going to affect somebody? You know, I remember watching, you know, for me, my conscience, I mean, this does not let me get away with much when it comes to watching impurity at all. My opinion is you shouldn't be able to get away with much either, because I don't see how people, anyway, whatever. But this, but I remember different times throughout my life, you know, I'd be with other brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're going like, hey, let's get together and have some fellowship and hang out. We're like, okay. And then I'm at their house and they put in a movie, and like, I'm like, you know, 10 minutes into the movie and I'm like, I can't watch this. And they're like, I remember this is like, you know, my first couple years in the Lord, and awesome Christian people I'm hanging out with. And I'd be like, guys, I can't watch this movie, you know? And they're like, why? I'm like, I just don't feel right about it. It's like Ouija board stuff on there. Why are you watching that? I got to go. And I'd leave. And you know what the right thing would have been for them to do? Maybe it doesn't convict them, but if it's causing a brother to stumble, rather than forcing him to leave, you guys with me? Turn off the movie and do something that all of you can enjoy, because isn't the point the fellowship? What's higher on the God's priority scale? So just paying attention, you know, if it's like, man, I feel fine about this, but if somebody else, it causes them to stumble, don't do it. If you got somebody around you, you know, it's like, hey, I'm free, you know, I can have a beer with my dinner if I enjoy it. But if you got somebody there who struggles with alcoholism, put the beer away and get out Coke. You guys with me? And don't sit there and make them, the whole dinner conversation, watch you thinking, that looks so good. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. They're not having fun. They're just having to struggle to put down the flesh the whole time. Is it love that you make them go through that struggle while you're just, I feel free? You guys with me? I mean, just another example. There's on and on and on. You could fill in the blank, but these are guidelines, you know, and these are just some small illustrations of how you can walk through applying these and in other areas of your life as well. So last scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 18. I love this. Be very careful. Have you noticed that's the second time he said that? Do you know that when you're walking in the Spirit, part of being good at walking in the Spirit is being careful. Pay attention to what you say. Pay attention to what you listen to and what you watch and the things that you do. Does it make sense? You got to be careful. It takes. If you're careful about something, it means you care about something. So be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but you want to be wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We're surrounded by bad choices everywhere, right? But guess what? Holy Spirit in you, he knows the way through the minefield. He knows the path of life. You can walk. He'll lead you right through it victoriously on the other side. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he gives this principle. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is literal. He's talking about getting drunk. Don't do it. All right? It's bad. It's a sin to be drunk. It leads to debauchery. But I think I take this when I read it, because for me, getting drunk is not really an issue. I don't even like the taste of alcohol. I can't stand it. But you know what is an issue for me? The principle is don't spend your life being consumed by carnal things. Don't live for the next carnal pleasure. I don't have the phrase, I live for weekends. It's okay to look forward to a free time, right? But I can find pleasure is in fellowshipping with the Spirit and knowing that you're pleasing him. I can do that at work. I can do that in my free time. You guys with me? I can make choices that cause me to live in the fullness of the Spirit continually. That's where happiness is at. That's the sweet spot of life. So he's like, don't make choices that just, when can I get my next piece of cheesecake? Or when can I get a day off to go buy something at the store? Or when can I just have some downtime to veg out and play video games or watch a movie or listen to some music or on and on and on and on? He says, don't get drunk with wine, but I'm going to take the principle, not just specifically, and broaden it to don't cater to the flesh, cater to the Spirit. Does that make sense? So you got freedom. You can eat the cheesecake. You can't get drunk, but you can eat the cheesecake. But I want to make decisions like, you guys get it. Okay. I'm going to tell you, I have, by God's grace, let's finish with this. For 19 years we've been married now. So I'd say very intentionally for 19 years, I have lived like this. Not perfectly, though, I promise you. Not perfectly at all. I've had seasons where I was a lot more fleshly than I should have been, a lot less spiritual than I should have been. You guys with me? But I can't remember a season, honestly, in the last 19 years where I haven't almost every single day been thinking intentionally about what I do, what I listen to, what I do with my time. I want to please the Lord. And I am so happy. There's things that I haven't done over the years, but can I tell you something? And sometimes at the time, it's like, oh, you know. But I don't miss it. 19 years now, I'm okay. I have fun things that I do. I enjoy vacations. I enjoy running. I enjoy ultimate frisbee. I can on and on and on. Lots of things I enjoy doing that don't seem spiritual. But I can do them with the Lord, and they are spiritual. But I have zero regrets in 19 years. There's nothing that I'm like, man, I have missed out on life because I said no to that thing so that I can enjoy communion with the Holy Spirit. And actually, I'll tell you this. I think there's levels of spiritual pleasure that I get to enjoy with the Lord that is directly because of those choices that I would not get to experience in the sustained way without those choices in my life. You know what? I could be a pastor right now and be like the most knowledgeable Major League Baseball fan in the city of Huron. I could spend hours doing it on my free time and still do my duty. Clock in and do my job. You guys with me? Still be a Christian, not committing adultery. You guys with me? I could do that, but I promise you the anointing would not be the same. The joy and the fellowship of the Spirit that I got, it's not even because of pastoring, it's just because of Him. And it spills over into the evangelism. Everything else that we do, that's what comes out. You guys with me? It wouldn't be the same, but I have no regrets. The joy in life is walking with the Lord and making decisions, the gift of discernment. I've found that just living by the law of love. You know, I'm freedom. That I have freedom in the Lord. So it keeps me from being condemned, you know? I ate lots of apple muffins yesterday. For Malachi's birthday, 2 pieces of mocha pie, not one. I had 2 pieces of mocha pie. And you know what? I enjoyed the Lord throughout the day. And I enjoyed the pie. Thank you for this pie. Seriously. For mocha pie, you got to say 2 prayers of thanksgiving. I'm joking. I'm totally kidding. I don't want to make you stumble. I'm kidding. But there's other times where I've done that and I was just being gluttonous. I felt like just vegging out, tuning out of the Spirit and just being carnal and fleshly. And the Lord's like, oh, that didn't feel good. I'm going to go back to that clean fellowship with the Lord. So Lord, I just bless my brothers and sisters. I hope this helps you guys. I hope I didn't just throw a bunch. I didn't. I'm not going to curse that. You got blessed. Okay, so Father, I just thank you for wisdom that's in the scriptures. I thank you for freedom. The Spirit lives in us, and you actually enjoy us enjoying good things that don't even seem spiritual on the surface, but you don't just allow us to enjoy them. You give it to us on purpose, and you enjoy watching us enjoy those things, just like we do with our kids. And Lord, I thank you that you're that way with us. And I also thank you for wisdom to manage our freedom in a way that enhances the highest pleasure, which is pleasing you and knowing you and causing others to walk in the light. Lord, we love you so much. I just pray that you would increase wisdom. Holy Spirit, increase our fellowship with you across the board, everyone here. Let us feel your presence. Let us hear your voice. Let us be led by the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In Jesus' name. And I pray that you give us clarity on the decisions every day we come up on decisions. God, give us, make us excellent at making wise choices. In Jesus' name, not in a legalistic way, but in a way that leads to life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Awesome.